Okay, we're going to read God's word at this point in our service. And we're reading a short reading today from the book of Lamentations, chapter 5. And we're beginning a new series today we're going to be in throughout July and August, thinking about the renewing that God promises us in his word. And we're going to read just a few short verses, the very last verses of the book of Lamentations, starting at verse 19 and reading through to verse 22. This is God's word. You, Lord, reign forever. Your throne endures from generation to generation. Why do you always forget us? Why do you forsake us so long? Restore us to yourself, Lord, that we may return. Renew our days as of old, unless you have utterly rejected us and are angry with us beyond measure. And the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his truth. For Christ's sake, we ask it. Amen. Okay, should have done that earlier. Okay, so you'll probably be aware of the fact that businesses often use a tagline to summarize what they are about, to give the public an idea of what it is that they do. For example, the courier company TNT used to have a tagline which said this, "Sure we can," all right? So that was a tagline that basically said, you need something delivered, we can deliver it. Okay, sure we can. But in 2014, they changed their tagline to this, the People Network. Now, when I kind of read that initially, I thought, well, that's a bit more downbeat. I don't get that. But in a statement talking about why they changed their tagline, this is what they said. They said the new tagline is, quote, a natural choice for businesses because we believe the client cannot be a barcode, but needs to be treated personally. The People Network. A tagline kind of gives you an idea of what this business or company thinks that they're really all about. Now, if God had a tagline, what do you think it would be? In the last book of the scriptures, we read this. He who was seated on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. If God had a tagline, it could be in that verse. It might be making everything new. That's what he's about. That's what he's doing. God is saying in the scriptures that he is going to do something that I can't do and you can't do. We come up against this reality all the time. Happened in our house last week. Hannah went into the shower one morning and came back out and said, Dad, the shower's freezing cold. Plenty of water pumping out of it, lots of pressure and all the rest of it, stone cold. Okay, now I reckon that's pretty good. Get my daughter awake in the morning before she goes to work. Seems fine to me, but she didn't really appreciate it. So I had to do something about it. So check with Ken Harvey, first of all, that it was all right. Went ahead. I had to buy a new shower and replace the current one with a new one. And now she can shower in warm water again, and she's very happy. But that was the best I could do. And the old one, lying in my garage until I get the opportunity to take it to Bruce Lee. I can't make it new again. I can only replace it. But God can do something I can't do. He says, I make everything new. He takes the heavens and the earth and he makes it new. That's his promise. All things new. And this is not just a glib promise, you know, like the strap line of some courier company or other, okay? It's what God wants to be judged on, because in that verse he says, look, I'm making everything new. What he's really saying is, watch me. You know, it's like someone says to you someday, you know, you're not going to do such and such a thing, are you? You're not going to abseil down the front of the Europa Hotel for a fundraiser. You're not going to sleep out in your back garden in a tent every night, are you? And you say, watch me. Watch me. You've staked your reputation on it now. I'm going to do this. And that's exactly what God does here. He says, look, I am making everything new. Just watch me. And our theme for July and August is this theme, all things new. Stay there. That's what I want. All things new. We're going to see how the Lord promises to renew some specific things in our world and in our lives. And the first thing that we find the scriptures promising that God will renew is our days. He promises to give us new days. And you find the reference in the writings of Jeremiah in, above all places, a lament. We read it a moment or two ago. In Lamentations 5 and 21, the prophet says, restore us to yourself, Lord, that we may return. Renew our days as of old. Prophet prays to God and asks him to renew the days of his people. Now, I know that sometimes in life, we can get into a negative turn of mind and we talk about how bad things are when in reality, we never had it so good. You know, we can get like that. My wife tells me that I'm in danger of becoming a grumpy old man sometimes. And that can be true of all of us, you know, that just you wake up, get out of the wrong side of bed, and everything about the world is wrong. When, if you stop to think for a minute, it's not as bad as that at all. Bruce Springsteen sings about it in his song, Better Days. He says this, now, a life of leisure and pirate's treasure don't make much for tragedy. But it's a sad man, my friend, who's living in his own skin and can't stand the company. Every fool's got a reason for feeling sorry for himself and turning his heart to stone. Tonight, this fool's halfway to heaven and just a mile out of hell, and I feel like I'm coming home. These are better days, baby. There's better days shining through. These are better days with a girl like you. Springsteen is talking about that thing that we often do in our lives. We moan and complain and we say everything's really bad when in reality, when we think about ourselves and we think about our lives, actually things are good. And sometimes, you know, we need to give ourselves a shake and we need to learn to cultivate gratitude. But that wasn't the situation which Jeremiah faced when he wrote these words, when he pleaded with God to renew the days of his people. Something completely different was the reality. This chapter, fifth chapter of Lamentations, begins with these words. The prophet says, remember, Lord, what has happened to us. Look, see our disgrace. And when you read that line, there then follows for the next 20 verses or so, a heart-rending description of things that you and I have seen in our own days. For example, more recently with the treatment of the Yazidi people by ISIS when they set up their caliphate and they found these people, they're part of the Kurdish nation, and they treated them horrendously. It's a story of deprivation, of displacement, of starvation, disease, slavery, rape, and irresistible violence. And if you remember that story as it unraveled and all the horror of it on our television screens in recent years, that's exactly what Jeremiah describes as happening to his own people in his own day and generation in the fifth chapter of Lamentations. What days they have left, Jeremiah says, are filled with misery and hopelessness. And yet the strange thing is, that it is in the middle of such a dark moment that the prophet prays for renewal. On what possible basis can he ask God to do this when things are in such a bad state? I want to think about that this morning. What basis does the prophet have for asking God to renew the days? What basis do we have for hope for new days ourselves? First thing is this, prophet prays on the basis of who God is. Earlier in this book of laments, the prophet had written some words we have turned into a song. We know it really well, but maybe we don't know it comes from this book. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 23, it says this, "Great is your faithfulness." In the midst of the darkness of everything that Jeremiah's people is facing, he writes these words to God, "Great is your faithfulness." And this beautiful insight into the personality and character of our God arises out of this devastating experience. It's a truly amazing fact that in the midst of this darkness, the prophet discovers the faithfulness of God. And in these verses before us today, in Lamentations chapter 5, the prophet underlines something even more important. Not only does God want to make our days new because he's faithful, but he can make our days new because he's powerful. We read in Lamentations 5:19 these words, "You, Lord, reign forever. Your throne endures from generation to generation." God not only has the desire to renew the days of his people, he has the power to do it as well. The verb which is translated to reign there could also be translated to sit down and stay where you are. On the 1st of December 1955, Rosa Parks was arrested in Montgomery, Alabama, because she refused the instruction of a bus driver, James F. Blake, who ordered her to give her seat in the colored section of the bus to a white person who was standing because the white section was full. And famously, Rosa Parks sat where she was. She didn't get up. She didn't surrender her seat. And that was why she was arrested. And on the 60th anniversary of what she did, Barack Obama said this. He said, "Rosa Parks held no elected office. She was not born into wealth or power. Yet 60 years ago today, Rosa Parks changed America. Refusing to give up a seat on a segregated bus was the simplest of gestures. But her grace, dignity, and refusal to tolerate injustice helped spark a civil rights movement that spread across America." There were new days in America because Rosa Parks sat where she was. She didn't surrender her seat. And our Lord sits where he is. He surrenders his seat to no one. Think of any powerful figure. Think of any powerful nation. Think of any powerful movement in the world in which we live throughout the course of human history. And God surrenders his seat to none of those people, none of those nations, and none of those movements. You, Lord, reign. You sit where you are, and you give no one your seat. We need to remember this. We need to remember this when things are dark and days are difficult. Jim Packer has said this. He said, "Ignorance of God, ignorance both of his ways and of the practice of communion with him, lies at the heart of much of the church's weakness today." New days are the outcome of knowing who God is. He reigns, he sits, and he gives no one that seat. First basis on which we can seek the renewal of our days from God is because of who he is. But the second thing is this: we can seek this because he has done it before. The prayer of Jeremiah has an interesting reference. It says in Lamentations chapter 5, verse 21, it says, "Renew our days as of old." And when you read this, you suddenly realize God has done this before. When? Well, at this moment, Jeremiah's people were in exile. They'd been dragged off to a foreign country. Their land had been devastated. They were no longer in control of their circumstances, far from their promised home, living in slavery. And these words of the prophet in that set of circumstances of exile were intended to evoke the idea of Exodus. They were in exile now, but before that they could remember a time, it was in their collective memory as a nation, it was written in their scriptures, when God showed up and set them free. And speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai, on the first time that Moses entered the presence of the Lord on the mountain, God says this to Moses, "You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." He carried you on eagle's wings. God had done this before. There are new days possible because of the activity of the Lord in Exodus. And over again in the New Testament, the work of the Lord Jesus is often spoken of as a new Exodus, as God coming to save, coming to redeem, rescuing his people from where they were. I'm reminded of the beautiful words of John Henry Newman in a hymn that he wrote that you may remember. "O loving wisdom of our God, when all was sin and shame, a second Adam to the fight and to the rescue came." God has done this before, and he can do it again. And this is the basis of so much of our faith. Not just the fact that God makes promises and because we trust him, we believe the promises, but because God has actually made good on his promises before. And because he has done it before, we believe he can do it again. And we base so much on that in our Christian experience. It's a story about Peter in the book of the Acts in Joppa. And he comes there to the bedside of a woman, Tabitha, some also known as Dorcas. And when he comes to Tabitha's home, her body has already been prepared for burial. She's died, and the community is devastated because Tabitha was a woman with many gifts and used her gifts generously and graciously to bless the fellowship of believers in that town. And people came to Peter and showed him the clothes that they had made them and the other things that she had done for them. And they were devastated at the loss. And Peter goes into the room where they had prepared her body for burial. And he looks at the dead woman and he says, "Get up." What on earth gave Peter the confidence to do that? To walk into a room where someone has been prepared for burial. It was a wake. And he walks into the wake and he speaks to the dead person and he says, "Get up." What gave him the confidence to do that? What gave him the confidence to do that was that not very long prior to that, he had stood with Jesus while some people rolled the stone away from the front of a tomb in which a good friend of Jesus had already been lying for 3 days. And as he stood beside Jesus, he heard Jesus call this man's name, and he saw that man walk out of the tomb. Peter had the confidence to tell Tabitha to get up out of her bed because he had seen the Lord do this before. And that gave him the confidence to know that the Lord who had done it before could do it again. There are new days for the people of God, and we have a basis to believe that there are new days for the people of God because God has done it before. We have confidence because of who God is. We have confidence because he has done it before. And thirdly, we have a basis because he wants us to ask. Jeremiah's book of laments doesn't end well. We read the very last verse of it a few moments ago, and this is how it goes. "Renew our days as of old, unless you have utterly rejected us and are angry with us beyond measure." Those are the very last words of the prophecy, okay? And so when you read them, you think, well, is the prophet actually kind of confident, really? Or actually, does he not really know? Is he kind of, you know, is kind of speaking into the darkness and hoping without really any real expectation that God's going to show up and do what they so desperately need him to do? Because he says, well, you know, maybe you've rejected us. Maybe you're angry with us beyond measure. You have to realize something about that verse. You have to realize here that in the prayer, the prophet uses a literary device, and you and I have used it ourselves before, especially if we're parents. See, your child has been stuck in front of the television or playing a video game for far too long. So you say to the child, I'm going out for a while. You could come with me and we could go and look for that pair of jeans that you want. Of course, unless you'd rather stay in. Now, you know exactly what the answer to that is going to be. Unless you want to stay. No, I'll come. That's fine. All of a sudden, television's off, video games closed down. Grab the coat and out they go because there's a pair of jeans at the end of it. Unless you, it's a literary device we've all used. And the prophet is doing exactly the same thing here. Renew our days as of old, unless, of course, you don't really want to. Full well knowing that what the prophet does in the prayer for new days is that he's asking God for what he knew God would stake his reputation on. Making all things new by asking God to do what God has already told us is his own tagline, the way in which he establishes and maintains his reputation. The prophet knew he was asking God for something that God wanted to do. When we ask God to renew our days, we are asking him to do what he wants to do himself. That's what gives us the confident basis for the prayer for renewal of our days. However dark the current circumstances may be, however deep the valley that we have had to walk through, however unlikely in human terms it is that these days can ever be given back to us, we come to God in confidence on the basis of the fact that we know who he is, that we know he has done this before, and that he wants us to ask for this to happen. Now, I know it's not as simple as this. I know that we live in the now and the not yet of the kingdom of God, that the kingdom has come in, that the power of Christ is present with us by the Holy Spirit. But I also know that the fullness of that experience is not available to us until Jesus comes back. I know that some of our heart's deepest desires cannot be realized this side of Jesus' return. I know that only then will all the tears be dried and all the illnesses be healed, and all the wrongs be righted. I know that only then will that be true, but who knows what new days might come now if we ask like Jeremiah did. We know that the fullness of God's promise to us lies in Jesus' return, but we also know that he who has done this before can do it again. Jeremiah recognized in his prayer that the best days need not be in the past, even if the days right now are the darkest it is possible for them to be. In Joel chapter 2, verse 25, in the midst of one of the darkest moments of God's people, the Lord gives the prophet a word. He says, I will repay you for the years the locust has eaten. A locust swarm had descended on the nation. The fields had been devastated and empty of crop. The people were impoverished and facing starvation. And God says to them, I will restore to you the years the locust has eaten. There will be new days. Not just new days, new years. The locust-eaten years will be given back to you. That's not what we expect. If you went into the wardrobe and found a moth-eaten jumper, what would you do with it? You'd put it in the bin. You'd throw it out. It's beyond redemption. It's full of holes. You need to get rid of it. And yet the Lord gives a word to Joel, the prophet, to give to the nation, and he said, I'll give you back the moth-eaten, the locust-eaten years. New days. There may be many of us in church today desperate for new days. Perhaps only you know the struggle and the situation and the condition of your life, the challenges and the darkness that you've had to walk through that maybe you are still in right now at this very moment. I am here to tell you that there is a God who makes his reputation on this issue, that he makes all things new. And there is an opportunity on the basis of who he is and what he has already done to accept his invitation to ask him, to ask him. Band are going to come and sing a song for us. You might want to listen carefully, quietly to it. Your offering will be taken in while this song is sung. Don't concentrate on the offering. Concentrate on the song. Song picks up on this very theme that the prophet is talking about. If you know it, you might want to sing quietly along with it. We have sung it before in church. It speaks about God's ability to make all things new. And then after that song, we're going to have an opportunity to respond to this message of the prophet and to invite the Lord to come and renew our days, whatever your situation is, right here, right now. Let's worship God.